Hey everyone, welcome back to Path of a Green Witch podcast. I'm Asha, Andrea's assistant, and today we're diving into a plant medicine that recently became very personal for me, one that I'm actually taking right now. So I ended up in the hospital here in San Cristobal dealing with some pretty heavy menstrual bleeding, and the doctor prescribed me something called hyoscina, which you might know as buscopina if you're in Latin America, or buscopan in other parts of the world. And the moment I heard that name, something clicked. I knew this was derived from plants I've studied extensively. Plants that are both incredibly healing and incredibly dangerous, depending on how you work with them. Today we're talking about tropane alkaloids, a family of compounds found in the nightshade family, the Solanaceae. These are the alkaloids produced by plants like datura, belladonna, henbane, and brugmansia. If you listened to episode 110, you'll remember we covered tropane alkaloids, particularly datura and its connection to witchcraft, flying ointments, and visionary practices. So if you want the deeper dive into the magical and entheogenic uses of these plants, definitely go back and listen to episode 110. But here's what's critical to understand. Today's episode is about something completely different than working with the actual plants. The hyoscina I'm taking, the pharmaceutical form, has been chemically modified so that it does not cross the blood-brain barrier. It won't cause hallucinations, it won't alter consciousness, it won't give you visions. The chemist literally attached a butyl bromide molecule to the scopolamine to keep it out of your brain, so it only works on your smooth muscles, your gut, your bladder, your uterus. This is the opposite of what traditional practitioners were doing with datura or belladonna for visionary work. Those preparations were specifically designed to access the mind-altering properties. The pharmaceutical version is designed to prevent that entirely while keeping the muscle-relaxing effects. So we're going to cover both sides. How indigenous healers use these plants for actual physical medicine, not just spiritual work, with careful preparation methods that manage the risks. And then how modern medicine took that ancient knowledge, isolated specific compounds, and modified them to be safer for everyday use. We'll talk about the science behind how this works, why it was prescribed to me, what the safety considerations are, and yes, we're definitely going to get into that absolutely wild story about how UK prisoners figured out they could chemically convert this safe pharmaceutical back into the hallucinogenic form just by smoking it, because that perfectly illustrates the difference between these two forms. And we'll end with the magical and spiritual dimension, because whether you're taking a pill or working with the plant spirit directly, that boundary-setting, protective energy is still there. You just need to understand what form you're working with. So let's start with what tropane alkaloids actually are and why these particular plants have been both medicine and poison throughout human history.
Need hope? Need healing? Need to feel whole? Aviara Hope restores your soul. Mental health, life coaching, spiritual care. Aviara Hope, we meet you there. Call Tiffany at 617-602-8530 for a free consultation. That's 617-602-8530. Aviara Hope is here to help.
So I was at the doctor's recently for this really persistent and just frustrating issue. Chronic heavy bleeding and all the awful spasms that go with it.
Right.
And the physician, she hands me a prescription for an antispasmodic. I look at the label and one word just stops me in my tracks. Hyoscina.
Hyoscina, yeah, that would do it.
Exactly. I mean, for anyone who's ever, you know, picked up a book on herbalism or plant chemistry, that name, it just hits different.
It's hyoscine, or as most people probably know it, scopolamine.
And finding that in a modern pill bottle, a compound from some of the most, well, powerful and dangerous plants on Earth, it was genuinely a shock.
It is surprising.
So that's our mission for this deep dive. We're going to trace the journey of this one chemical from a sacred poison used by ancient healers all the way to this very precise, very safe pill sitting in my medicine cabinet.
And it really is all about boundaries. That's the theme here. How the Kummer action of this compound, which literally blocks cells from communicating, how that creates a boundary.
A boundary that can be pharmacological.
Or spiritual. Or, in the worst cases, the boundary between life and death.
Right.
We really need to break down the plan itself, the extreme risks, and the, well, the brilliant chemical trick that makes your prescription safe.
Okay, so let's start with the botany. Where does hyoscine actually come from? It's an alkaloid, right?
It is, yeah. It's a nitrogen-containing compound, and its home is the infamous Solanaceae family.
The nightshades, of course.
They're nightshades. These are botanical heavy hitters. Okay. We're talking about plants like Hyoscyamus niger, that's henbane, and Atropa belladonna, deadly nightshade.
And the Datura species, too, right? Jimson weed, devil's trumpet.
Absolutely. And Brugmansia, the angel's trumpet. What's crucial to understand is that it's not just one chemical in these plants. It's a whole cocktail.
A cocktail.
A cocktail of what we call tropane alkaloids, usually a mix of scopolamine and atropine. And the ratio between them is everything. It's why they're so dangerous.
So different plants have different amounts.
Exactly. Belladonna, for instance, often has more atropine. But Datura and Brugmansia, they tend to be higher in scopolamine. That subtle shift in the recipe completely changes the effect, which meant ancient healers had to be incredibly precise.
And that effect, the core action you mentioned, the boundary, you said it's an anticholinergic. What does that actually mean for the body?
Okay, so simply put, think of acetylcholine as a messenger. It docks onto these things called muscarinic receptors and gives a command, like contract this muscle or secrete this fluid.
Okay.
Scopolamine is an anticholinergic because it gets there first. It fits into that receptor, that docking port. But it gives no command. It just blocks it.
It's an imposter.
A perfect imposter. It physically blocks the real messenger from getting through. And by doing that, it stops spasms in smooth muscle, like in your uterus or your gut, and it dries up secretions. It's a cellular do not enter sign.
Wow. And you can see that power reflected in the history and all the different names for these plants. Tulashe and Nahuatl Momoy for the Chumash. This is a clearly deep, long-held knowledge.
It is. But that brings us to the most important point we have to make right up front. The raw plant is profoundly dangerous.
That therapeutic window is tiny.
It's terrifyingly small. The very thing that makes it work is what makes it so toxic. We have to talk about the symptoms.
Yes, the classic mnemonic.
The anticholinergic toxidrome. It's unforgettable for a reason. Blind as a bat, dry as a bone, red as a beet, hot as a hare, mad as a hatter.
So you're talking extreme physical distress and mental chaos all at once.
Complete cognitive disruption. The pupils dilate so much you can't see. Skin gets flushed, heart rate skyrockets, and the delirium. It's profound, and it can last for days.
And it can be lethal.
Oh, absolutely. It can cause seizures, respiratory failure. We have cases where just a few drops of certain eye preparations cause toxic psychosis. For a child, less than 10 milligrams can kill.
Which, okay, brings me back to the pill in my hand. Given that terrifying reality, how is my prescription, which I swallow, how is it so safe? This is the point of chemical genius, isn't it?
This is it. This is the chemical solution. The drug you're taking, often sold as Buscopina, isn't just hyoscine. It's hyoscine butylbromide.
Butylbromide, that's the key.
That is the entire key. Chemists attach this big, bulky butylbromide group to the molecule, and that does two critical things. First, it gives the molecule a permanent positive charge.
And second,
because it's charged and so much bigger, it can't cross fatty membranes easily. Most importantly, it absolutely cannot cross the blood-brain barrier.
So it's physically locked out of the brain?
Locked out. That barrier is designed to keep toxins out of your central nervous system, and this chemical modification basically exploits that security system. The drug stays in your gut, your pelvis, wherever the spasms are. It can't get to your brain and make you mad as a hatter.
That's the aha moment.
Yeah.
The safety isn't just about a smaller dose. It's a chemical lock keeping the poison from crossing that critical mental boundary.
Precisely. The data backs it up. When you take it orally, less than 1% even gets into your bloodstream. And basically none of that can get through to the brain. You get the targeted relief without the danger.
Which is why it's used for so many things now. My issue, of course, but also irritable bowel syndrome, bladder spasms, even as a pre-anesthetic.
And motion sickness patches, of course. Those work a bit differently, delivering a tiny, slow dose through the skin, but it's the same principle of control.
So let's go back in time again. If it was so dangerous, why on earth would ancient practitioners take that risk?
The answer is almost certainly one thing: extreme, unrelenting pain.
They had no other options.
None. Think about setting a broken bone. Or crude surgery,
yeah.
Or the agony of childbirth. This plant offered a level of pain relief that was, frankly, miraculous. The Chuash used momoi on fractures. They'd apply it to the skin, and the drug was so powerful it would knock the person into a stupa, relaxing the muscles so the healer could set the bone.
So it was their form of anesthesia.
It was. But using it required this immense system of knowledge and control. It wasn't casual.
No, you'd need years of training.
Decades, sometimes. An apprenticeship where you learn not just the plant, but how to read the patient, the right time to harvest, the exact way to prepare it to make it as stable as possible, the respect, the precision. That was their safety mechanism.
And that idea of setting a boundary, of blocking a signal, it went beyond the physical, didn't it? It became an energetic or spiritual idea.
It did. The plant's ability to block unwanted signals in the body mirrored its use in the spiritual world. These nightshades were seen as fierce protectors.
For warding things off.
Exactly. For warding off malevolent magic, for strengthening your own energetic shield, for reinforcing your ability to just say no, to set a psychic boundary.
Which is where the whole flying ointment tradition in European witchcraft fits in, right? It wasn't just about hallucinating.
No, it was about intentionally crossing a threshold, using the plant's power to traverse the veil between worlds for spirit travel. It's all connected. The plant demands respect, and in return, it offers protection and access to these boundaries.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
There was that spell, that intention we found in the source material. It really captures that idea.
It does. It links the physical healing with that bigger energetic role.
It says, plant of boundaries, keeper of thresholds, I call your medicine into my body, into my soul. Stop what should not pass, quiet the painful noise, and let my boundaries be strong. I mean, that's beautiful.
It is. But it brings us back to a really important modern question. If the pharmaceutical version is chemically locked to be safe, why have we been seeing all these warnings about its misuse?
This is where the story takes a really dark turn. The Buscopan prison epidemic.
Right. This started around 2015, mainly in the UK.
Inmates figured out a way to break that chemical lock you were talking about. They found out they could crush the tablets, mix them with tobacco, and smoke them.
And the drug was cheap. It was available. It was, you know, the perfect storm in that kind of environment.
But the science of what happens when you do that is just terrifying.
It's dark alchemy. When you heat hyoscine butylbromide, the scientific term is pyrolysis, you chemically strip away that butylbromide safety group. You reverse the process.
You turn it back into the dangerous stuff.
You convert up to 47% of it back into highly potent, mind-altering scopolamine. They were literally undoing the pharmaceutical safety feature inside a pipe.
And the effects were devastating. 10-hour trips with vivid, terrifying hallucinations.
We saw reports of people dismantling televisions, running around naked, just completely incoherent, and then afterward, profound amnesia. They couldn't even remember what they'd done. It created an absolute crisis.
And it wasn't just a bad trip. It turned lethal.
It did. The first reported death from smoking Buscopan was in 2021. The autopsy showed severe swelling in the brain and lungs. It just underscores the danger. When you smoke it, you're delivering these massive, unpredictable, toxic doses straight into your system.
Bypassing everything.
Bypassing all the body's natural defenses. It's the starkest contrast imaginable. The safe, controlled oral pill versus this chemically altered, lethal version. The danger only exists if you deliberately break that chemical lock.
So when we pull it all together, what does it all mean? We've got this plant, this chemical that is a fierce protector, a keeper of boundaries.
It's capable of profound healing or, you know, instant death.
And even when we're just taking a modern pill for cramps, we're taking part in this tradition that's thousands of years old.
I think we can honor that traditional knowledge without romanticizing how dangerous it was. The lesson from those ancient cultures is one of precision, of study, and of humility in the face of something so powerful.
So core action is the same. Setting a boundary at the cellular level.
It always comes back to that.
So a final thought for you to take away. If the power of these plants resonates with you, study them, but study them safely. And maybe ask yourself this. What boundaries in your own life, physical, energetic, or mental, do you need to set or defend right now? And how can the spirit of this boundary keeper plant, whether you're taking it as a safe medicine or just honoring its history, how can it help you in that work?
Andrea's sister, Tiffany, has a life coaching and therapy business called Aviara Hope. Here's a quick message about it. Life's challenges can sometimes feel overwhelming. Whether you're struggling with stress, seeking clarity and focus, or looking for spiritual guidance through difficult times. At Aviara Hope, we believe everyone deserves a compassionate guide on their journey to wellness. We specialize in mental health support, dual diagnosis care, family counseling, and life coaching, all with a holistic approach that honors your unique path. Whether you need stress relief, help navigating complex emotions, or spiritual perspective to light your way forward, we're here for you. Because healing isn't just about surviving the storm, it's about finding your wings to soar again. Welcome to Aviara Hope. So we've covered the science, the medicine, the traditional uses, but let's talk about what happened when those UK prisoners accidentally stumbled onto something that perfectly demonstrates the liminal nature of these plants, because this is where it gets truly fascinating from a magical perspective. These prisoners, many of them going through heroin withdrawal, being prescribed Buscopan for their stomach cramps, they discovered something that pharmaceutical companies thought they'd locked away. They found the key to release the spirit of the plant that had been bound in chemical chains. Think about it. The chemists attached that butyl bromide molecule specifically to trap the medicine in the body, to keep it from reaching the brain, to make it safe. They thought they'd separated the healing from the visioning, the medicine from the magic, but all it took was heat, fire, the most ancient of transformative elements, to break those bonds and release scopolamine in its original potent form. From a magical standpoint, this is profound. You cannot fully divorce a plant's spirit from its physical form. You can modify it, redirect it, constrain it, but the essence remains. And when you apply the right catalyst, in this case, literally the element of fire through pyrolysis, that essence breaks free. The prisoners weren't chemists. They were desperate, locked up, looking for any escape from the monotony and trauma of incarceration. And somehow, through experimentation or word of mouth or sheer intuition, they figured out that burning these pills would give them back what the pharmaceutical companies tried to take away, the boundary-dissolving, reality-shifting power of Datura's alkaloids. Now, let me be absolutely clear. This killed someone. This is not safe. This is not controlled. This is the perfect example of why these plants demand respect, why traditional practitioners spent years learning proper preparation, proper dosing, proper protocol. The prisoners who smoked Buscopan were experiencing intense 10-hour hallucinations with no guide, no container, no traditional framework to hold them through it. People were found naked, confused, dismantling electronics, thinking they had invisible glue. One person died, but it illustrates something essential about working with plant spirits. They cannot be fully domesticated. The pharmaceutical industry can isolate compounds, modify molecules, create safe versions. And those versions absolutely have their place, like the pills I'm taking right now for my cramping. But the full spirit of Datura, of Belladonna, of Henbane, that cannot be contained by a butyl bromide attachment. It's still there, waiting. This is why, in traditional practice, these plants are treated as allies, as teachers, as powerful beings worthy of reverence, not as compounds to be controlled or recreationally abused. The boundary-setting energy we talked about earlier, that works both ways. These plants set boundaries. They defend themselves. They demand respect. When I take my Buscopina pills and speak the spell we wrote earlier, I'm acknowledging both forms, the modified pharmaceutical doing its work on my physical body, and the ancient plant spirit behind it. I'm working with what's appropriate for my needs right now. Muscle relaxation, not vision quests, but I'm not pretending the plant spirit isn't there. So here's what I want you to take away. Modern medicine and traditional plant knowledge don't have to be in opposition. The pharmaceutical version of Hyoscina is genuinely useful and has saved me from some serious cramping. But it exists because indigenous healers and traditional practitioners figured out thousands of years ago that these plants could relax smooth muscle, ease pain, facilitate childbirth, help with healing. The knowledge went traditional healer, pharmaceutical extraction, chemical modification, modern medicine, and somewhere in UK prisons, modern medicine, fire transformation, back to the original spirit, but without any of the traditional safeguards. If you're going to work with these plants, and I mean the actual plants, not the pharmaceutical, do it right. Study the plants in depth. Find a teacher who actually knows. Understand that the line between medicine and poison is razor thin. Respect the dose recommendations, respect the preparation methods, respect the plant. And if you're taking the pharmaceutical like I am, you can still honor the plant spirit. You can still set intention. You can still work with that boundary setting protective energy without needing to access the visionary properties. Before we close, I want to leave you with a spell, a rhyming incantation that honors both the medicine and the magic of these powerful nightshade allies. Ancient roots in shadowed ground where poison and medicine both are found. Datura, belladonna, henbane's call, tropane spirit standing tall. In pill or plant, in fire or leaf, you bring the healing and relief, but guard your power fierce and true. Respect the line between me and you. When chemists tried to bind your soul with molecules to take control, you taught us still through smoke and flame, the spirit wild cannot be tamed. So I approach with reverence deep. The boundaries you demand, I keep. Take what I need, no more, no less, and honor both your power and your rest. To those who seek to fly too high without the wisdom, knowledge, why? Remember well the prison dead. This path demands a careful tread. But to the healers, old and wise, who read the truth in plant allies, who dose with care and harvest right, you hold the balance, dark and light. Scopolamine in all your forms. Through human hands and nature's storms, I thank the plant, I thank the pill for boundaries held and muscles still. So mote it be the lesson learned, respect is how that power's earned. That's it for today's episode. If you're dealing with similar health issues and your doctor prescribes Hyoscina or Buscopan, now you know what you're working with. If you're interested in the deeper magical work with these plants, go back to episode 110. And as always, be safe, be smart, and remember, the most powerful magic is the magic that knows when not to be used. Until next time, this is Path of a Green Witch podcast. Thank you for listening.